Volume 39, number 2 of the Ensign magazine, for February 2009. Copyright 2009 by Intellectual Reserve Incorporated, all rights reserved.
First Presidency Message, Precious Fruits of the First Vision, by President Dieter F. Uchtdorf, Second Counselor in the First Presidency. By the universal power of the Holy Ghost, I felt in my heart and in my mind that Joseph Smith saw God and Jesus Christ and heard their voices. I believed Joseph Smith's testimony of that experience in the Sacred Grove then, and I know it now. In my growing up years in Germany, I attended church in many different locations and circumstances, in humble back rooms, in impressive villas, and in very functional modern chapels. All of these buildings had one important factor in common. The Spirit of God was present. The love of the Savior could be felt as we assembled as a branch or ward family. The Zwickau Chapel had an old air-driven organ. Every Sunday, a young man was assigned to push up and down the sturdy lever operating the bellows to make the organ work. Even before I was an Aaronic priesthood-bearer, I sometimes had the great privilege to assist in this important task. While the congregation sang our beloved hymns of the Restoration, I pumped with all my strength so the organ would not run out of wind. The eyes of the organist unmistakably indicated whether I was doing fine or needed to increase my efforts quickly. I always felt honored by the importance of this duty and the trust that the organist had placed in me. It was a wonderful feeling of accomplishment to have a responsibility and to be part of this great work. There was an additional benefit that came from this assignment. The bellows operator sat in a seat that offered a view of a stained glass window that beautified the front part of the chapel. The stained glass portrayed the First Vision, with Joseph Smith kneeling in the Sacred Grove, looking up toward heaven and into a pillar of light. During the hymns of the congregation, and even during talks and testimonies given by our members, I often looked at this depiction of a most sacred moment in world history. In my mind's eye, I saw Joseph receiving knowledge, witness, and divine instructions as he became a blessed instrument in the hand of our Heavenly Father. I felt a special spirit while looking at the beautiful scene in this window picture of a believing young boy in a sacred grove who made a courageous decision to earnestly pray to our Heavenly Father, a Father who listened and responded lovingly to him. The Spirit's Witness. Here I was, a young boy in post-World War II Germany, living in a city in ruins, thousands of miles away from Palmyra, New York, in North America, and more than 100 years after the event actually took place. By the universal power of the Holy Ghost, I felt in my heart and in my mind that it was true, that Joseph Smith saw God and Jesus Christ and heard their voices. The Spirit of God comforted my soul at this young age with an assurance of the reality of this sacred moment, which resulted in the beginning of a worldwide movement destined to roll forth until it has filled the whole earth. Doctrine and Covenants, Section 65, Verse 2. I believed Joseph Smith's testimony of that glorious experience in the Sacred Grove then, and I know it now. God has spoken to mankind again. Looking back, I am grateful for so many friends who helped me in my youth to gain a testimony of the restored Church of Jesus Christ. First, I exercised simple faith in their testimonies, and then I received the divine witness of the Spirit to my mind and to my heart. I count Joseph Smith among those whose testimony of Christ helped me to develop my own testimony of the Savior. Before I recognized the tutoring of the Spirit, testifying to me that Joseph Smith was a prophet of God, my youthful heart felt that he was a friend of God and would therefore, quite naturally, also be a friend of mine. I knew I could trust Joseph Smith. The Scriptures teach us that spiritual gifts are given to those who ask of God, who love Him, and who keep His commandments. See Doctrine and Covenants, Section 46, Verse 9. All have not every gift given unto them, for there are many gifts, and to every man is given a gift by the Spirit of God. To some is given one, and to some is given another, that all may be profited thereby. Doctrine and Covenants, Section 46, verses 11 and 12. Today I know that my young testimony benefited greatly from the testimony of the prophet Joseph Smith and many friends in the church who knew by the Holy Ghost that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that He was crucified for the sins of the world. Doctrine and Covenants, Section 46, verse 13. Their good examples, caring love, and helping hands bless me to receive another special gift of the Spirit described in the Scriptures as I was yearning for more light and truth. To others it is given to believe on their words, that they also might have eternal life if they continue faithful. Doctrine and Covenants, Section 46, verse 14. What a wonderful and precious gift this is! The gift of faith. As we truly humble ourselves, we will be blessed with this gift to have faith and to hope for things which are not seen but are true. See Alma chapter 32, verse 21. As we experiment upon the words given to us by the Scriptures and the living prophets, even if we have only a desire to believe and do not resist the Spirit of the Lord, our souls will be enlarged and our understanding will be enlightened. See Alma chapter 32, verses 26 through 28. The Savior Himself explained this merciful principle clearly to all the world in His great intercessory prayer, given not only for His apostles, but for all the saints, even for us today, wherever we might be living. He said, "Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on Me through their word, that they all may be one, as Thou, Father, art in Me, and I in Thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that Thou hast sent Me." John chapter 17, verses 20 and 21. This is how Joseph Smith's first vision blesses our own personal lives, the lives of families, and eventually the whole human family. We come to believe in Jesus Christ through the testimony of the prophet Joseph Smith. Prophets and apostles throughout the history of mankind have had divine manifestations similar to Joseph's. Moses saw God face to face and learned that He was a Son of God in the similitude of His only begotten. Moses chapter 1, verse 6. The Apostle Paul testified that the resurrected Jesus Christ appeared to him on the road to Damascus. See Acts chapter 26, verses 9 through 23. This experience led Paul to become one of the Lord's great missionaries. Hearing Paul's witness of his heavenly vision during the trial of Caesarea, the powerful King Agrippa admitted, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." Acts chapter 26, verse 28. And there were many other ancient prophets who also bore powerful testimony of Christ. All of these manifestations, ancient and modern, lead those who believe to the divine source of all righteousness and hope, to God, our Heavenly Father, and to His Son, Jesus Christ. God has spoken to Joseph Smith for the purpose of blessing all of God's children with His mercy and love, even in times of uncertainties and insecurities, of wars and rumors of wars, of natural and personal disasters. The Savior said, "Behold, mine arm of mercy is extended towards you, and whosoever will come, him will I receive." 3 Nephi chapter 9, verse 14. And all who accept this invitation will be encircled about with the matchless bounty of His love. Alma chapter 26, verse 15. Through our faith in the personal witness of the prophet Joseph and the reality of the first vision, through study and prayer, deep and sincere, we will be blessed with a firm faith in the Savior of the world, who spoke to Joseph on the morning of a beautiful, clear day, early in the spring of 1820. Joseph Smith History, verse 14. Faith in Jesus Christ and a testimony of Him and His universal atonement is not just a doctrine with great theological value. Such faith is a universal gift, glorious for all cultural regions of this earth, irrespective of race, color, language, nationality, or socioeconomic circumstance. The powers of reason may be used to try to understand this gift, but those who feel its effects most deeply are those who are willing to accept its blessings, which come from a pure and clean life of following the path of true repentance and living the commandments of God. Gratitude for a prophet. As we remember and honor the prophet Joseph Smith, my heart reaches out to him in gratitude. He was a good, honest, humble, intelligent, and courageous young man with a heart of gold and an unshaken faith in God. He had integrity. In response to his humble prayer, the heavens opened again. Joseph Smith had actually seen a vision. He knew it, and he knew that God knew it, and he could not deny it. See Joseph Smith History, verse 25. Through his work and sacrifice, I now have a true understanding of our Heavenly Father and His Son, our Redeemer and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I can feel the power of the Holy Ghost and know of Heavenly Father's plan for us, His children. For me, these are truly the fruits of the first vision. I am grateful that early in my life I was blessed with a simple faith that Joseph Smith was a prophet of God, that he saw God the Father and His Son Jesus Christ in a vision. Joseph Smith translated the Book of Mormon by the gift and power of God. That testimony has been confirmed to me over and over again. I testify that Jesus Christ truly lives, that He is the Messiah. I do have a personal witness that He is the Savior and Redeemer of all mankind. I received this knowledge by the unspeakable peace and power of the Spirit of God, and the desire of my heart and of my mind is to be pure and faithful in serving Him now and forever. Ideas for home teachers. After prayerfully studying this message, share it using a method that encourages the participation of those you teach. Following are some examples. 1. Sing the hymn, Joseph Smith's First Prayer, hymns number 26, with the family. Show a picture of the first vision. Ask the family what they see in the picture. Read the first section of the article and discuss what President Uchtdorf felt as he looked at the stained glass window of the first vision. 2. Have the family look for truths of the first vision that President Uchtdorf identifies as you read the last section of the article with the family. Ask the family what they feel are the fruits of the first vision. Invite family members to share their feelings about Joseph Smith. 3. In preparation for the visit, read Joseph Smith's account of the first vision. See Joseph Smith History, verses 11 through 20. As you tell the story of the first vision, have younger children draw a picture of the vision. Discuss President Uchtdorf's statement that God has spoken to Joseph Smith for the purpose of blessing all of God's children with His mercy and love. Have the children explain their drawings. End of the First Presidency Message, Precious Fruits of the First Vision, by President Dieter F. Uchtdorf, Second Counselor in the First Presidency.